Last week we were talking about the children of Israel, really close to the Jordan River. They were almost ready to cross over, and they were waiting 3 days. And in that 3 days, they were supposed to take a bath. They were supposed to change their clothes, supposed to get ready to go over into the Promised Land. They had been spending time in an area known as the Acacia Grove. And if you're interested, Google that. There's a lot of information there. But from that place called the Acacia Grove, they would be moved by instruction of God down toward the water's edge. And we kind of left off last week with God's people spending the last evening there, looking across the water and maybe even able to see the lights of Jericho over there. But families gathered around campfires and the smell of smoke and Vegalink's cooking and things that just really were of a very homey atmosphere, prevalent in each family unit. But fresh on everyone's mind is the idea. All the struggles we've hassled with, all the pain that we've endured, all the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, it's just about over. And tomorrow, we're crossing the water. We're going into the Promised Land. And that's kind of where we left off last week. Well, guess what I want to talk about today? I want to talk about the Holy Land experience. But this is a surprise. It's not what you think. No. I want to tell you a story. And I want to pull at least three lessons from this story, if you will let me. In Orlando, Florida, is an event called the Holy Land Experience. And I don't get paid for this, but if you ever have opportunity, make reservations ahead of time, pay your $100 a person, and go there. It's worth it. In January, Donna and I were attending some ministers' meetings, and we decided during some free time that we would go to the Holy Land Experience. Like I say, it's a little expensive. She made the reservations. We got in the car the next day. See, to go to the Holy Land, you really need reservations ahead of time. And it will cost you a little bit. I'm driving and she's directing. One of the things I'm going to do after retirement is learn to use the GPS on my $600 phone. But she knows how to do it. Now I'm going to pull some lessons from this. We got on the interstate, and who's driving? I'm driving. And I can drive just about anything, including her Lexus. But there are other people on the highway. And I've been driving a long time. I want to go to the Promised Land. I want the Holy Land experience, and I want it right now. Don't you wish you could go to heaven today? Amen. You've been going to church a long time. You've heard a lot of sermons. I used to have a pastor, and this is no joke, Don't you tell him. I used to pray that he would stop. But driving to the Holy Land Experience in Orlando, we're sitting together in the car and we're talking. And I'm running 70 miles an hour, easily. According to the GPS, we should be there in less than 45 minutes. Good, we're going to the Promised Land. I'm thinking from a pastor's viewpoint, I wonder if all these people are going to the Holy Land. Now, I know in ministry, not everyone that's baptized, not everyone that joins the church stays on the highway. This is kind of the focal point of this morning's message. No matter what happens, natural law or divine providence, I want you to make it all the way through to the Holy Land. The interstate is wide. The spiritual journey is wide. You can choose which lane you want to be in. And as we are traveling toward the Holy Land Experience, I see an exit. And some of the cars are getting off at that exit. And I just couldn't help it. I thought of this church here. I didn't mention it out loud. But you know, we don't have with us all the same people we did 15 years ago. Some have died from natural causes. Others left us because of their own choosing. They took an exit. Now, praise God, some of those exits go back on the interstate. But as I'm traveling toward the Holy Land and we're together, and by the way, it's great to have somebody with you going toward the Holy Land. Somebody who's not gripey. If I could preach some more sermons here, we might speak about kindness. I tried that for a little bit, and it didn't work so well here, but kindness is an important virtue. We're traveling so quickly toward the Holy City and toward the Promised Land. I knew I could see the signs along the way. 30 more minutes, the Holy Land Experience. Make your reservations now. You've been hearing that all of your life, haven't you? You've heard it from me. All the signs in the physical world, the sign in the economic world, signs in the natural world, just all kinds of signs. 20 plus signs in Scripture to be given as evidence of the nearness of Christ's return, just about all of them right now today are being fulfilled. You've heard that. So you see the signs in a spiritual sense on your journey to the Promised Land Experience. And then you know what I saw? I saw taillights. Somebody said, you know, Wendell, the best thing about holidays is taillights. You didn't get that, did you? I began to see brake lights. And we were traveling at a good rate of speed, weren't we, Donna? And suddenly we just had to slow down and slow down and slow down until we ourselves, on the way to the Promised Land, came almost to a stop. Finally, we saw the problem. There were some cars up ahead who had not really been happy with each other. There was broken metal and evidence of a crash. On the Promised Land, on the right way, these drivers crashed. They didn't exit to deny the way to the promised land, but still on the journey to the promised land, they crashed. Now, I just have to deviate right here just a second. I know I did this to you, but I could not resist it. I could not help it. For about 5 or 6 years, the major theme of my preaching here was we need to be faithful no matter what is happening around us. Some of the themes of that preaching, now you listen. This is probably one of the main reasons that Christian people crash in their journey to the promised land. You are almost there, really, truly. Jesus is coming soon. You cannot crash now on your journey. Listen to some of these thoughts. How do you talk to God when He doesn't listen? When God divorces you? What to do when God lets go of your hand? How do you listen when God doesn't speak back? How do you find God when He hides? When God cries? We did do one on when God sings too, you know, out of Zephaniah. Any of you remember that? When you can no longer trust God. Remember that, take my yoke upon you for my easy load. See, my mind went blank here. Anyway, it was about the yoking up. Anyway, I'll get you back, brother. Anyway, for a few months here, a few years here, I could not get past this idea that sometimes it's just like things are not going for the Christian the way they should go. The Bible is filled with all of these promises. They that love thy law have great peace. And we learned that peace is not defined by the absence of pain and suffering. But as I saw these cars crash there on the way to the promised land experience, I'm convinced in my heart as a pastor that one of the main reasons that some of our fellow believers and some of you may be tempted to drop out is this very fact that right here, that there are times when it seems that God doesn't protect. When the great physician, he just runs off. He doesn't heal. He doesn't do his job. In other words, how do we serve this unfaithful God? And so we crash. Crash right on the way to the promised land. Let me give you some dear, wonderful encouragement. Our concept of God, our view of God, needs to be broadened. It needs to be enhanced by this understanding that we do not know the mind of God. You cannot judge your feeling of God, now listen to me, on your own experience. It takes a lot of faith to be a Christian and make it to the promised land. Don't you crash. Don't you let go of what you have simply because you cannot logically fill your mind with an acceptance of what's happening in your life. That's kind of the devil's playground there. And I've been there. As your pastor, I've walked around the edges of that playground and I've looked in. But by the grace of God, I'm not playing with the devil. I don't want to crash. I don't want you to crash. We are just too close to the promised land. I do need to retire. I can't find my notes. I'm crashing.
You'll find them next week.
I got them. So, some things happen not because God sends them to you. Now, you can beat me up if you want to because I'm going away for a while. But please consider that some things happen as a result of natural law. And not necessarily because God ordained that when you got up that particular morning, certain things were going to happen. On the way to the Holy Land, Donna, if you remember, more than once, and I don't know what there is about Orlando traffic, but there were tow trucks on the side, flatbeds pulling cars up on them. Maybe one of them ran out of gas. I don't know. God didn't assume that morning at 8 o'clock that a red Camry was going to run out of gas at mile marker 23. The people didn't put gas in their car. And so it stopped. Some things are natural law to you. Don't blame it all on God. If you don't follow the integrities of faith, then you can expect to be delayed, to pull off to the side. What are we going to do as a movement to keep people from cracking and taking an exit and from avoiding the natural disciplines of faith? That's really my concern as a retiring pastor. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to determine as a family that we are bound for the promised land, that we're going to take each other with us, that as a family, we are going to embrace each other as we are. And the cookie cutter mentality that once worked, it's no longer working. And that's good. We can embrace it. But we shall love those who are not exactly like us. And listen to me, love those who do not necessarily have all the same convictions that we have. If we do that, we will not be a distracted driver. Our spiritual journey will take us into the promised land. And at last, we can spend eternity with Him.